welcome to the Gridiron Show, brought to you by Currys, PC World and GoPro. Super Bowl 54 is in the books. Patrick Mahomes, at 24 years old, is the youngest quarterback to ever win both an MVP and a Super Bowl. He did it with a huge fourth quarter comeback, down 20-10, coming back to win 31-20. I'm heartbroken. Everyone's seen something pretty special. It's been a great week, and we'll reflect on it all coming up on the Gridiron Show, brought to you by Currys, PC World and GoPro. This is the Gridiron Show, brought to you by Currys, PC World and GoPro. We do still have that giveaway going for you lucky people. If you buy an action camera, GoPro action camera, before the end of play tonight as we're recording this, then you have a chance to enter the competition. That's with Currys, PC World, of course. You have a chance to enter a competition to win a seven-day break here in Miami, Florida, with MVP travel, including flights, accommodation, transfers, staying at the brilliant Miami Marriott Biscayne Bay, four-star hotel within easy reach of South Beach, 4-2. Website prices and offers may vary. Offers subject to availability. Terms and conditions at currys.co.uk/Super Bowl. It's 1 inch per receipt, 18-plus residents only. So you have to have bought it by 23:59 tonight, Monday the 3rd of February. But we've had a cracking week in Miami, so I think we can all testify it's a brilliant prize.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great city. Said a couple of times all week over the week that it's not a city I was clamouring to come to for some reason. I'm not really sure why that is now. But yeah, it's fantastic. Just a beautiful city, lots to do. I guess a lot less rough and ready than I expected. I thought kind of it has a bit of a reputation at times, but so many beautiful parts. I mean, where we're staying here in Little Havana, you can hear the roosters in the background, no doubt. It's just a city with so much, an area with so much character. And lovely. I mean, we were out at 3 a.m. last night grabbing some food after we finally got back. And there's things going on. There's taco places. Great tacos as well, by the way. A lot better than the greasy kebabs you'd get in the UK at that time. And yeah, just very friendly people and great culture.
The culture is the main thing, isn't it? It's just a mixing pot of loads of different nationalities. You're hearing Spanish all the time, so if you want to brush up on your Spanish, that's kind of fun. They recognise my very, very bad Portuguese as well at times. And I just think the Cuban influence, and we saw it in the halftime show with J-Lo and her coat turning into a Cuban flag from the Star Spangled Banner. Just that I almost cheered like it was going to be the Union flag. I was just like, go on, Cuba! And we've only been here for about a week.
And I think, like, the people who've spent the week here almost would have more of an appreciation for that. Anyone who's spent time here for that halftime show, because I think they really hit the nail on the head, didn't they? And I think we've discussed earlier in the week how the halftime show really should reflect the city that it's in, if possible. And I thought those two ladies did a great job of that last night.
Well, in fact, on that point, if you take a look at our Twitter and Instagram feeds, I think it's going on Facebook as well, you can see a time-lapse that we did with the GoPro Hero 8 of the halftime show that looks absolutely spectacular. And it's just one of those other modes the GoPro Hero 8 Action Black has. It's got the time-lapse. It does photo mode. You'll end up, honestly, it's so small and compact and just fits perfectly. You'll just end up using it instead of your phone camera because the quality of the pictures it takes are outrageous. Right, so.
Are you okay, buddy?
We're currently sat outside on a Monday morning.
I don't think it's okay.
It's about 24 degrees outside our Airbnb on this lovely wicker furniture. I'm in a Hawaiian shirt. I'm not hungover. I'm in Miami. Everything should be good about the world. And yet, this deep pit in my stomach. And what's weird about it is, Matthew Jerry told me yesterday, we will have coming up on the show some conversations from the Kansas City Chiefs locker room. Tyron Matthew I spoke to, Bashard Breeland, Kendall Fuller. They weren't all members of the defensive back room, by the way. I also spoke with Matt Moore, the backup quarterback, who had some really interesting stuff to say about Reed and Mahomes, Harrison Butker, who had a brilliant game. The kickoffs, every time stopping at the one-yard line and forcing the San Francisco 49ers to start from a worse field position with almost every drive was a huge part of the game, actually, that was underrated, I think. So that'll all come up as well. And Sherry said to me last night, after the Patriots lost to the Eagles, he went into the Eagles locker room and saw players that he'd grown to become very fond of and got to know when he'd been doing the media availability and stuff, and it genuinely made him feel better. And last night, it genuinely made me feel better. By the time we got to the pub, bar, Taqueria, wherever we were, and we were having some beers, and we were having some... we were there with a Hall of Fame voter, and we were chatting his ear off about the new class. I was feeling much better about the world. I have woken up feeling just awful again. I did go on quite the four-letter worded rant about Kyle Shanahan, but I feel like we should save the 49ers stuff, and we should start off with the Chiefs. They have just won the Super Bowl, after all. And they did so off a performance from Patrick Mahomes, which was two interceptions, looking rattled, down, just with 10 minutes left to go. They didn't look like a team that could come back into this game. You knew the talent was there, but he becomes the first quarterback to have three double-digit comebacks in the same postseason of all time. And he's 24 years old. I was saying I'd like to see the MVP given to Damian Williams, because I don't think any of us expected the run game to be so dominant for the Chiefs, but Mahomes' leadership to put the team on his back, to hear from all those players about how he sounded on the sideline and how he behaved on the sideline, it's very difficult to not argue he's the most valuable player to this team, both on the day and in general.
Yeah, I mean, it comes back to what you define MVP as, I guess. But, I mean, the interesting part for me, I'm just kind of writing some notes this morning as I plan a piece that... now, because I'm about to drive to Orlando for a holiday, it won't be written for a couple of weeks. You know, this playoffs was really the stereotypical Andy Reid experience. You know, they had maddening, infuriating moments in basically...
To be clear, no, it wasn't, because they won.
Well, that's what I'll get onto. But they had maddening, infuriating moments in every game, basically. And Reid obviously is a great coach, and even before this, in my opinion, was a Hall of Fame coach. But he has had this issue in the postseason of whether it's overthinking himself, or bad game management at the end of the game, or whatever it is he does. But what he's found in Patrick Mahomes is what Bill Walsh had in Joe Montana, and you know, Lombardi and Starr, and Belichick and Brady. It's the great equaliser, which is a guy who never knows when he's beaten, and when it comes down to the fourth quarter, like he didn't play well for the majority of this game. This is the reality. But legends are made in the fourth quarter of Super Bowls. I watched Tom Brady throw two interceptions against the Seahawks in Super Bowl 49 that everybody has forgotten happened because he threw 13 of 15 in the fourth quarter for two touchdowns. This was a similar vibe, you know. Mahomes, I think, was 10 of 16 for 160 yards and two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. And he did just take over the game. I think, you know, Super Bowls often have players that will live in your memory. There's two for me in this game. One is Sammy Watkins absolutely roasting Richard Sherman and Mahomes delivering a perfect ball in there on the second drive. But obviously the players... it's third and 15. Just literally a play I don't think any other quarterback on the planet, maybe outside of Russell Wilson, could make for two reasons. One, he took about a 15-step drop. And you've got to remember, this is at the time when the 49ers' defensive line was absolutely all over him. So first of all, the quickness of foot to get back that far and then beat the pass rusher and be able to deliver the ball, which, again, must have had 60 air yards on it because he's dropped another 15 yards in the pocket. It was a 44-yard completion. I mean, that was just a spectacular play. And it was a flick of the wrist. The thing with Mahomes is it almost becomes normalised that he does stuff like this, because over 2 years we've just watched him do things that, certainly for a guy that young, are scarcely believable. That ignore all of the rules that we've ever had, and it was just a special fourth quarter performance.
I asked Matt Moore about that play, and I was like, it looked like he took about a 15-step drop. And whilst both Moore and Butker on that play said, like, gave some credit to the offensive line and the guys coming in to block, he did say, yeah, and that's basically, he's the only guy who could drop that deep, make that pass look as good as it did. Like, he honestly had a look on his face, as I said it, when he really realised. I think in the time, you don't even realise how spectacular that was and how quick his footwork was. He kind of, it's like it dawned on him how special that play was as I was speaking to him. And he just kind of sighed and shook his head and was like, yeah, well, that's bad. Like, it's
but it's
amazing.
Also, it's also Andy Reid, you know. Mahomes broke down the play in the post game and essentially they'd had a robber in the middle of the field, so they knew that if they put Kelce on a deep in, then he would take that guy, and then you would have the one-on-one with Hill on the safety. Now, that's what Andy Reid is very good at. It's adjusting in game and offensively. He's got so many strings to his bow, including, as we saw in the first half, a single wing play from the 1940s on a key fourth down. And that's what this is now. This is a merger of a Hall of Fame coach, one of the greatest play designers and offensive minds in NFL history, and one of the greatest quarterback talents in NFL history. And that's what's so exciting. I mean, imagine being a Kansas City Chiefs fan right now.
Oh, unbelievable, isn't it? Like, they've got the maybe the star in the making of the NFL for the next seven...
Maybe US sports.
Eight, nine, 10 years.
I think US sport. I think that's the conversation. I'm not sure there's an emerging talent in basketball right now, which tends to be the place the superstars come from.
Well, I think Steph Curry was that, but the Golden State Warriors have fallen off a cliff when other people have left. An injury came at the wrong time for Curry as well. But you're right, it is a LeBron Federer-esque ascendance, I think, and it will be that. For me, there are two plays that really stick in my mind. There was a drop where, and then he rolls out to the right and then throws across his body, back of probably almost on his own goal line. And it's a kind of a Mahomes-esque play that we're very used to, but he makes it look so easy. And then the other one, it was a 3rd and 10, I think, and it was just after 20-10 down. It was just after the San Francisco 49ers had put even more pressure on them. He was in his own half, and everything breaks down. The coverage is really good. He rolls out to his right, and he makes the first down on his feet, goes out of bounds, runs for about 11 yards. And I turned to Nat Coombs, and I said, that is the kind of play that when you're not getting anything done and you're not doing anything, your quarterback scrambles for that, moves the chains, releases the pressure. And I think that there and then, there were some other bits afterwards, but there and then, I thought that was when Kansas came back.
This is the spectre of Kansas City. The spectre of Mahomes forces other teams to do stupid.
Yeah, 100%.
I've watched the Patriots do that for years.
The fact is going into the last 10 minutes, the conversations we were having is, what is Andy Reid doing? Why are they not bringing extra people into block? How is Joey Bosa being left single covered? He's absolutely all over them every play. The pass rush was getting there. The linebackers were playing well. After the run game had been so dominant in the first half, they'd managed to get a few stops in the second half, plus the two interceptions. You know, there was a lot that we were saying that was almost negative about the Kansas City offense. So as much as, yes, you need Tyreek Hill to make that streak play and to be quick enough to get under that ball, yes, you need Travis Kelce to be dominant over the middle a couple of times, but it's all Mahomes for me. Any other quarterback back there doesn't do what happened last night. On the defensive side of the ball, there's been some classic rewriting of history, it feels like, this morning watching Good Morning Football, that they have, because they have eight new defensive starters this season and Steve Spagnuolo coming in, this idea that they were suddenly some revolutionary top-tier defense. Yes, they won the game, and there were a couple of players on there, and we'll mention Tyrann Mathieu in a moment, plus Chris Jones, who I can't see how they pay Pat Mahomes and Chris Jones to stay in town.
Especially not with the other guys in there.
That's going to be a guy they probably lose in this offseason, and he had a big, big game, or at least one huge play to force the Jimmy Garoppolo interception when he got penetration up the middle. But this idea that their defense put the team on their back in the end and got the two stops, we'll get on to the 49ers, but the 49ers lost it on that side of the ball. What we did see was Tyrann Mathieu in the first half make three plays in the open field which could have been touchdowns. On long plays, one run, two pass, where it was Tyrann Mathieu every time, the last line of defense, who made the game-saving tackle on a 20-plus yard play which could have broken off for a touchdown. Without Tyrann Mathieu, the 49ers could have been up 15, 20 points by the end of the first half, and we're talking about a very, very different game of football potentially. As much as I'm saying, let's cool the talk of a brilliant defense, it was a good enough defense. In terms of one player who absolutely did put that side of the ball on his back, Mathieu was just unbelievable throughout last night.
Yeah, I mean, the defense was transformed at the point when they moved him closer to the line of scrimmage and utilized his unique and diverse skill set.
I asked him about that. You'll hear it in a bit, and he gave Spags a lot of love.
Let's hear it.
Oh, okay. Wow. Throwing it in there for me.
So I'm so happy, man. You know, he's done a lot for this program. He's done a lot for the NFL. You know, to win that many games, to have a Super Bowl ring now, I think that solidified him. I think that solidifies him.
What about Medjugorje? Coach Spagnuolo made the decision to move you closer to the line, seemed to change the defense this season. He's transformed what you do, it feels like, in the last 8 or 9 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, he's a bright mind. He's so smart, and he adjusts really well, especially with personnel. And I feel like that's why they brought him here. You know, he was the guy to take down the undefeated Patriots, and, you know, he's had a lot of success in the playoffs. He do so well just adjusting and communicating with his players. I feel like those little things has really helped us out a lot.
And for you personally, 3 times in the first half, an open field tackle from you stopped what could have been a touchdown. That's a game changer for me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I take great pride in just, you know, being an overall player. You know, it's not going to be every game that I'm able to make an impact playing a passing game. But it'll be a lot of routine plays that at the end of the day you realize how big they were. So I think our coaches really preach that, just making an easy play, the simple play. I was happy I was able to do that for my team tonight.
And finally, what's it like watching Patrick Mahomes operate from the sideline in that fourth quarter?
You know, it's like watching Denzel in the movie, or, you know, watching LeBron James in the playoffs. I think he has that glow about him. He has that spark, man. For him to be that young and to be able to keep his confidence in the Super Bowl, playing against a tough defense who didn't really give him anything, I think that should tell you everything you need to know about the kid. He believes in himself, and he believes in the people around him.
Congratulations, man.
Hello, you're listening to the Horse Ramble Daily, where we'll be covering all of your horse needs. And there's more. Every day during the Cheltenham Festival, Betway are giving you the chance to win £50,000 in the free-to-play or to win game. Head to betway.com to play now. Up next, more horses. Horse, horse, horse. Horse, horse, horse. Horse, horse, horse. Full terms apply. 18 plus only. BeGambleAware.org.
This is The Gridiron Show, brought to you this Super Bowl week by Currys PC World and the new GoPro Hero 8 Black Action Camera. As I was saying earlier, if you take a look at our social feeds, you'll see some amazing shots of the Super Bowl itself taken on the GoPro camera. Generally look amazing. Great for Instagram. They've got the live burst, the time lapse, which we did for the halftime show, which is amazing. Plenty of video modes as well. And what I love about the time lapse as well is they have there's like a video mode within the time lapse where at the click of a button you can slow down the capture, then speed it up again, all live. Which, if you're filming like the route up to the stadium, you sometimes want to stop on something and get a really good shot of it. And if you're doing a time lapse on your phone, you have to like stand still for 2 minutes to make sure that it's going to have enough on there and then move on again. Not with the GoPro. It looked really cool. Josh and John did a really brilliant job this week.
John Jackson did it at the post-game interviews, so the podium interviews, where he went from the broken, destroyed and upset 49ers through into the jubilant Kansas City Chiefs. It was very good.
Tyrann Mathieu, we just heard from there. It was very good. Tyrann Mathieu, we just heard from there in the locker room afterwards. He was obviously absolutely mobbed. We'll have some more interviews coming for you with guys who were a little bit more kind of, you know, able to get one-on-one since they changed the rules on how the locker room works. It's amazing how much more time you can get with these guys. There was one point where I was waiting to interview an offensive lineman, Wisniewski, because we were talking about how there wasn't much Super Bowl experience on that Chiefs side. I forgot he won it with the
Eagles.
With the Eagles, and he came into this game after an injury at left guard, about 2 drives in, and had a tough time of it early on, but ended up standing up and playing well. I was waiting to interview him and they were kind of having a chat between themselves. And I was there, like, poised, ready, camera and everything in hand. What I didn't realise is Patrick Mahomes was stood directly behind me, as close as I am to Ollie right now, chatting to Clark Hunt's son for a solid 2 minutes. And Ollie Wilson just filmed me there being completely oblivious to the whole thing. Eventually I turned around and was like, and as he walked past, I gave him a little, like, pat on the shoulder pads, like, congratulations.
A pat.
I gave him a pat.
Absolutely.
Anyway, Andy Reid. The element we've not talked to.
Yeah,
much about.
I mean, I'm very, very
delighted for him.
I am very happy for him because, you know, you look back over his career, he'd won more games than any coach without winning the Super Bowl. He'd coached in 365 NFL games, so he coached in a year's worth of games, and he got the job done on his 366th. Hat tip to Sam Farmer, friend of the show, who opened his piece by quoting that stat and describing it as, now that is a leap year, which I loved. I thought that was a very good opening to his piece. Yeah, so incredibly happy for him. I think the game exposed some of his shortcomings, which is the irony. But at the end of the day, the majority of great coaches, Joe Gibbs being the exception, who've won multiple Super Bowls, I'm aware he hasn't won multiple yet, but I'd be stunned at this point if he didn't, have a great quarterback. I mean, it's just a fact. It's the way it is. And that's what he hasn't had over his career. He's had a quarterback you could go so far with: Alex Smith, Donovan McNabb, Michael Vick for a little period of time. But most of them need this guy who, when the lights go on in the fourth quarter in the big game, can do something special. And that's what Patrick Mahomes is.
But equally, you have to give it up to the play design. We always talk about 2 weeks to prepare for the Super Bowl, even with everything else going on around it. What are the coaches going to give us that are slightly different? Disappointed that 49ers didn't give us a huge amount different. When they stuck to their run game, it worked as well. It was so frustrating. But what we saw from... it was almost like Andy Reid was sick of hearing about how innovative Kyle Shanahan and his offense was. They ran three option plays which absolutely blew up the game in the first half, including the one for the touchdown, where Jakiski Tart was given the completely impossible situation of having Pat Mahomes running directly at him, Damian Williams on his outside, and just had to make a decision, took half a step towards Damian Williams, and Mahomes went, thank you, and walked in for the touchdown. It was...
The
1949 Rose Bowl formation, the Michigan one, where they spun before the play into a single wing to pick up the fourth down. Farcical.
I thought the first half of this game in particular was almost impossible to keep track of, because both teams, certainly the first four drives, because both teams were doing so much. And like, you're trying to watch the formations and all this, and you're like, this is mind blowing.
I was counting some of the pre-snap motions, and there were two or three plays where I saw the 49ers make six pre-snap motions. Six! And when you watch what it does to, like, Kansas City, a lot of the time, there were plays where they played man in the backfield, or they were playing a combination of, like, a man zone. But a lot of the time, they just picked up on the motion stuff by not allowing themselves to be pulled around too much, by sticking to their zones. And it was only when there was one play in particular, I think it was a big completion to Manny Sanders over the middle, where they made two motions and then George Kittle just moved across the formation from right to left, and it just shifted the linebackers maybe a step over to their right. And that was enough for Sanders to make the in-breaking route and have a pocket in the middle of the field. And they picked up about 16 or 17 yards. And just, it was a joy to watch if I didn't have a rooting interest. A real joy.
There were interesting things on defense as well, especially from Kansas City. At one point, I saw them line up just to the right-hand side of, as you're looking at from the defensive point of view, three guys in a line, and at the point of snap, they all moved in different directions, in different blitz motions. It was really fascinating to see it from that point of view. So, You're right, Matt, in the first four drives at least, and then throughout, there was so much going on both sides of the ball. It was almost like a dance, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. It was like two chess masters going head-to-head, and that was the fun part, I think.
And it is difficult when you're talking about those disguises against an offense like the 49ers run or vice versa. It's much easier to stay to your very simple system, your simple scheme, and just do well at defending your zone and not get drawn in by it. But to throw disguises at everything they're doing as well is fascinating. You know, I loved it from that perspective. It's just the fourth quarter fell apart.
Yeah, absolutely.
And on that fourth quarter, Will,
should we hear from the rest of the locker room first?
Yep.
Okay. let's tease Willie's desperation and upsetting.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
All right, sorry.
So first of all, Matt Moore, congratulations. You're a Super Bowl champion.
Thank you, man. That's awesome to hear. Just thankful to be a part of this amazing group of guys, man. It's really cool.
As a guy who works in the quarterback room, when you're down 10 with 10 minutes left and Patrick has two interceptions, was there ever a moment that you believed he wouldn't come back?
No, man. Are you kidding? I mean, look at our season. It's kind of been a theme. I told him, man, it's never over. It's never over, and I know he knows that. He believed that. I know he did, and obviously he goes out and changes the game quickly, makes a big play to Tyreek on that deep corner route, and everything else kind of fell into place. It was awesome to watch.
We were kind of stunned that he wasn't making those big plays. But there's one in particular, that third and 15, where he seemed to take about a 15-step drop. I've never seen anything like that.
That's kind of who he is, man. He makes it happen. I mean, we needed that more than ever. And he bought us enough time. And Tyreek was, you know, did a great job and got open. And Pat put it up. And a huge, huge play in the game.
And what about for Coach Reed?
I mean, amazing. I mean, I've only known him for a short time. Great person, obviously a great ball coach. I mean, I could not be happier for him. I'm just so stoked for him.
He's been in that position before, down two scores in a Super Bowl with not much time left. Seems he learned lessons from that. What was he telling you guys on the sideline?
Well, he just kept telling Pat, just, you know, keep shooting, keep throwing it. Similar to just, it's never over, man. Just keep firing. And that's what he did. Guys kept making plays, and, you know, we come out on top. Got a little momentum and came out on top. I mean, it's just really cool.
Well, congratulations, man. You're a Super Bowl champ.
Thank you very much. Thank
you. Well, first of all, Harrison Butker, you're a Super Bowl champion. How does that feel?
It's unreal, man. No one can take that away. Super Bowl champ, Super Bowl 54 champion, you know, just amazing. You know, we talked about this in training camp. You know, being able to come back from that 2018 loss in the AFC Championship game, and then we won the AFC Championship game 2 weeks ago, and now it's like we're finally here for the big one. We closed it out, no doubt in anybody's mind, when we were down by 10. You know, we had been there before, being at a deficit, you know, against the Texans and the Titans. So, you know, nobody was worried. We came back, got the W, and now Super Bowl champs, unreal.
Go for the two fourth downs in the first half. Do you ever think you're even going to get out there and have a chance to kick?
No, I mean, I knew going into this game, like, if it was going to be fourth and short, we were going for it. You know, obviously, I was ready to kick the field goal, but, you know, I want to do whatever to help the team win, and if getting a first down is going to help the team win, I'm all for it.
What's it like watching Patrick Mahomes and that offense operate in the way they did in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, it was great. You know, we bounced back from some maybe incomplete passes, stuff like that. We had a great fourth quarter. You know, Patrick really sacrificed his body out there, and I thought that showed how much of a leader he is and how tough and physical he is as a person to put his body on the line to win that game, you know, and he just balled out for a quarter.
Ever a moment with the second interception and that move to being 10 points down where you thought that was it?
No, but just because there was so much time, and, you know, we can score so quickly. You know, we had some good onside kicks that we could have used as well, but, you know, I don't think we had any doubt.
Well, on that point, I just want to give you praise personally, something I mentioned on commentary. Your kicking today from kickoffs, pinning them literally 1 yard every single time to restrict the run backs and help that field position. It's an underrated part of the game, but you did your job amazingly.
Yeah, I appreciate that you noticed that. You know, I think it goes kind of unheard of or, you know, under the radar, but that's a huge momentum changer, especially the last kickoff we had. You know, we got him on the 15-yard line. I mean, that's tough. Jimmy Garoppolo's got to go, what, now 85 yards to score a touchdown. That's a lot better than just giving the ball on the 25-yard line. So field position's huge. I think it gives a lot of momentum for the defense going in there. But, you know, I love kickoffs. Everybody on the kickoff team, the 10 other guys, they take a lot of pride in it. And, you know, I thought we destroyed them on kickoff covers.
And it just really, truly shows that this is a team sport.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that stuff goes kind of under the radar, but if they got the ball on the 25-yard line, you know, it could have been different, you know. And, you know, this game's all about inches, so every yard that we can get behind that 25-yard line is huge.
What will you do tonight?
Man, you know, we got a party already set up in the hotel. My family's going to be there. You know, I'm just looking forward to just eating whatever and enjoying the offseason now. I mean, you're going in the offseason with a Super Bowl ring. I mean, it's unreal. You know, this is the best way to do it, obviously.
And then the very last thing, just a word on Coach Reed.
Man, I'm so happy for Coach Reed. You know, obviously losing his first appearance and now finally got it. You know, he'll forever be a Super Bowl winning coach, you know, and I'm so happy we were able to help him do that.
Harrison, big fan. Well done. You're a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, thank you. Unreal. Appreciate it.
Okay, so we're here with Breshad Breeland, cornerback of the Kansas City Chiefs. We spoke on opening night. We talked about this team, this coaching staff, everything you've done this season, and now you're a Super Bowl champion.
Man, great. You know what I mean? Like, we saw this coming. We knew it was going to be here. We just had to follow the quarter. It was already written. We just had to follow the script. You already know.
Is there ever a moment when down 10 points, 10 minutes left, two interceptions already thrown, you're sitting on the sideline thinking, we can't do this?
No, man. Not one time did this team ever waver or ever got down, man. I can see that we persistent in what we do to get wins or whatever it takes, we're going to do it. The defense came in and helped the offense until they got going. When the offense get going, it's a wrap, man. We score in 3 minutes. Like, so never down. You never out of it. As long as if you got 4 or 5 minutes, man, we never down.
I want to talk to you about toughness. You went off with an injury at one point. There was a timeout. You came in 2 plays later. You got a tackle for loss. What does that say about you, this team, that mentality?
Man, this is Super Bowl, man. Ain't nothing going to have you hurt. You know what I mean? Shoot me up and send me back out there, man. I'm going to do what I got to do to get this team winning. For us to win, man, we're going to do what we got to do. And that's the mentality of everybody all year. We had a lot of injuries that hamper us, but the guys went and worked and got themselves back quickly and possible to help this team get to this point, and we did it.
Quick word for Coach Reed.
Man, I'm glad I was able to help you get this joy and experience this joyous moment, you know what I mean? Get your first Super Bowl, my first Super Bowl. Like, I'm happy and I'm glad to be able to spend it in this moment with you. Great coach. You know what I mean? Like, he like a pop to some of us out here, you know what I mean? Like a friend, you know what I mean? Like, he's a player's coach. And anybody in the room will want to play for him. And I'm just happy I got a chance to really help him get what he deserved.
And then finally, what's it like to watch Patrick Mahomes operate from the sideline?
Man, that's great, man. That's something you can't beat.
It's got two phones on the go. They're both blowing up. Look, Super Bowl champion. Congratulations, Rashad.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks.
Feels good, man. We've been putting in a lot of work since April, man, just to take it step by step and to get a win and be able to enjoy this. It's been fun. It's a blessing.
When you got traded over here, I think a lot of people were surprised that such a valuable asset was moved in a trade. Did you know you were coming to a team that had this potential within a couple of years?
I learned quick, man. Just coming in, just seeing how they work. Seeing Coach Reed's system, how he did things, how much he pushes you, how much he works you, man. I came in and I learned quick and just tried to, you know, be a part of it and put my hand in it and have a role.
How does it feel to do this for Coach Reed tonight?
It feels good, man. To see him get his Gatorade bath, to see him hold up that trophy, man, means a lot to all of us.
And what about Patrick Mahomes? You've seen over the last 2 years the way he's grown into arguably the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, man. Pat he's a hell of a player, man. And the special thing about him is that he never tries to do anything out of his control. You know, he just stays in his limits. He's the player that he is. And it's just good that he's a heck of a player.
What's that feeling on the sideline after the second interception down 10? Was there ever any low point at all?
Nah, not really. Just kept on fighting, man. We've been in the situation pretty much the whole playoff, so we know it was always going. It only took one play to get us back in the game, and you know, the offense made that play. I think with Tyreek on the deep shot, and I think as soon as that play happened, we all knew that we could get it.
With Tyreek on the deep shot with a 15-step drop. I've never seen a quarterback do anything like that before in my life.
Say that again.
It was a 15-step drop. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that from a quarterback before. His feet are insane.
That's a testimony to the O-line, too, being able to block it up, give them time to hit those guys deep. So it all works hand in hand.
And finally for you, to get that game-sealing play right at the end had to be a special moment.
Yeah, it was fun, man. I never liked going a whole season without an interception, and I went the whole regular season, so I told myself I had to get one. I was like, if I ain't get one the whole regular season, I'm just saving it for the Super Bowl, then I'll take it.
It's a pretty good time to get your first.
Good time to get it, so I ain't mad.
Congratulations, Kendall, Super Bowl champion.
Appreciate that.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
From inside the Chiefs locker room, Matt Moore, Harrison Butker, Bashar Breeland, and Kendall Fuller. Kendall Fuller was the most relaxed man in the world. I said to him, like, I thought he was a really interesting case because he was part of the Alex Smith trade. And I don't think anyone thought he should have been traded by Washington. Certainly, we thought it was a ridiculous decision by them at that point. And obviously, we could never have known about Alex Smith's horrible injury. But even so, it still felt like a bizarre decision for them to make. He was the most relaxed and laid-back man in the world about the whole thing. Just like, yeah, it's, you know, I've really seen, I came in and I could see that there was potential for this team to win. But, yeah, what we've done over the last couple of years has been pretty fantastic, pretty good. So,
I'd say
you just won the Super Bowl, Kendall. You've just won the Super Bowl.
You've just won the Super Bowl. Have arguably the greatest young talent we've ever seen playing a quarterback and a Hall of Fame head coach. It's not a bad situation.
That fourth quarter.
Well, I mean, it's not just the fourth quarter.
No, it's not. But Kyle, the end of the first
half. Kyle Shanahan went into this game coaching not to lose, and you can't do that in big games. I'm sorry, you can't. I know you trust your defense, and I understand why you trust your defense. But first of all, you could have had the ball left with a minute 30 in the fourth quarter. As much as the Kittle play eventually was called back, that almost was evidence in favour, because they'd have had 6 seconds left on the clock.
Yeah, it would have been had.
So you'd have had to kick a field goal. That was almost evidence to me of how badly wrong he got not calling the timeout. Now, I understand the argument of not wanting to give Mahomes the ball back, but the way to actually beat Patrick Mahomes, as well as controlling the clock when you're on offence, is to utilise every possession possible.
And it's not just
and
that.
And when you're down by four, with 2 minutes left, trying to drive down the field to win, that's illustrated. There is also the fourth down call.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the second half.
At 10-10 on the opening drive.
Kicks the field goal. And then again, with 2 minutes left. I mean, Garoppolo nearly had them in field goal range anyway. But with 2 minutes left, you're driving down the field, down four. You convert 1 fourth and short with the best running game in football. And you're potentially level at that stage. And it's a totally different game. So that was wrong. And then, I mean, and then it's almost like as a big overcorrection in the fourth quarter. I mean, the second and five pass play, I just don't think I'll ever get over,
no,
frankly.
No, absolutely. And the fact is, they just picked up a nice chunk on, it was one of their worst runs of the day, and they picked up 5 yards on first down.
It's all,
and
at that point, it's like every drive where they had a drive starter running the ball, they pretty much marched down the field, didn't they? You know, once you get the defense on the heels and you start running it well, it's difficult to stop
prime,
that
prime example, the third quarter touchdown. They had the first play of that was, I think, a negative run play or possibly just a 1 yard run play. And they were set up in second and long and they could have panicked then. They went for another run play, picked up a first down. I think it was Mostert to the outside on the left. It might have been a swing pass, actually, but it was certainly out of a run formation. It was pass out of run if it wasn't a run. And that established the tone for that drive, and they went down and scored a touchdown. It's what you've done so well all season. It's what you've done brilliantly in these playoffs. It's what you've done to establish leads time and time again. That second and five call, if you run the ball or if you do something off of run in order to pick up the first down, I think the San Francisco 49ers are probably Super Bowl champions.
Just
right
run
now.
The ball until they prove they can stop it in that moment. You know, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, that is your strength.
How much was Houston in his mind when it was coming to protecting a lead?
Has to have been.
Unquestionably. And I think also, just in his general caution, I think it was in his mind. Because in Houston, he was too aggressive. You know, he didn't think enough about that. But, I mean, for me, he should be able to differentiate the difference between a 25 and a 10-point lead. I mean, it's with Pat Mahomes on the other sideline. I mean, people look at the scoreline and think, well, why are we doing... Well, the scoreline's irrelevant. The last touchdown was with the game already over touchdown. It wasn't... It was a four-point game, you know. And you look back at a close game like that and you look at all those missteps and the hair. And then, ultimately, as well, I thought it was a bad night for Jimmy Garoppolo. And he didn't play badly all game, but I judge a quarterback by what you can do with...
Right, you've talked way too much about the thing that I was going to come on and rant about.
Go ahead, buddy.
So let's talk about Garoppolo. Honestly, he just said everything I needed to say about Kyle Shanahan to get it off my chest. This is meant to be my therapy session, and you've just taken it over. People didn't want to hear from you, you six-time Patriots champion supporting bastard. They wanted to hear from the person who was grieving.
I genuinely didn't think you wanted to talk about it. If you're ready to talk now, William.
Well, here we go. Put the mics down.
No, you're absolutely right. Everything you've said there, in a classic Ollie Hunter line, I can't disagree with. You're spot on about all of it. Let's talk about Jimmy Garoppolo, who, on the third and five after the second and five went so badly wrong, had a wide open man. And instead went for the big play downfield because that was the read that the play gave to him. Make that play and people probably call you a legend. But you can pick up the first down and that's all you need to do. You're trying to run time off the clock. There was another one on the next drive where he went for a big play to Kittle again. Where he had, on the second and long. Where he had Deebo Samuel wide open in the flat. Okay, it might have only been a 5 or 6 yard pickup. But put yourself in third and short and give yourself an opportunity to move the sticks and keep the game going. There were at least four plays last night where he made absolutely the wrong read. The interception was dreadful anyway. It was almost like after we had that conversation about the sack that he took 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, where you were saying you've got to throw the ball away, you can't take a sack in that situation. It was almost like he had that in his mind and went, oh, I've got to throw this ball away, and just completely misjudged it and ended up throwing it directly into the arms of a waiting Bashar Breeland. The whole thing was it Bashar Breeland or was that one Kendall Fuller? I don't even know anymore. The whole performance does make you have to question, with the defense they've got, with the scheming they've got, with supposedly the young coaching talent they've got, can they get over the line with that combination of a quarterback who's not going to put the team on his back but needs the system around him? A guy who's, you know, let's be honest, reminds you of, say, like an Alex Smith, a decent game manager who has a decent throw in his locker. Now, there is, just to kind of quantify that, the first season off a major ACL injury for any quarterback is incredibly tough. And he could come back next year and be a much better player than he was this year. And we've seen it time and time again this season. Tonight he threw his 15th interception of the year. After throwing an interception, on 9 separate occasions they've scored on the following drive. Like, that is better than anyone else in the NFL this year. It's an impressive stat because it shows his mental capacity to get over mistakes. But he's got to do that for now 9 months, not for 4 minutes while the other team are on the field. It's a question of whether the head coach gets over his mental issues, the quarterback gets over his mental issues, because one of them has to if they're going to win a championship. Otherwise, the 49ers could easily represent the NFC in the Super Bowl next year. We know that a Super Bowl loser, it's very tough to go back again afterwards. It's very, very rare. But talent-wise and coaching-wise, they've got all the ability to do it, and they've opened as NFC favourites. If they get back there again, you think that the kind of jolly mood I was in for most of this week, where I was kind of taking it as it comes, I'm going to be much worse next year because I'm going to have been there with this combination and known just how badly we can screw it up, which, by the way, is monumentally. And to everyone who lovingly texted me with 10 minutes left of the game, congratulating me on the dominant performance and the Super Bowl victory and asking me to do snow angels in the confetti at the end of the game, desperate for shots of me on the field. To every one of them, I messaged them back going, calm down, calm down, calm down. Because I knew what Patrick Mahomes could do. This is exactly why I did that. I didn't expect it to be as spectacular as a 21-point unanswered comeback. And the 49ers undeniably threw that game away with the play calling and the quarterback play in the fourth quarter. It's a game they could have won even when they went down 24-20. And it's a game they should have won when they were still up 20-17.
I mean, the 24-20 is a good point because for me, you should have still won at that point, because that is what you do in those situations. That's what you should do in those situations.
What Russell and Wilson does, it's what, like, Tom Brady does. It's what Peyton Manning we've seen do. It's what we've seen. I mean, it's what we've seen Eli Manning do. It's what we've seen Joe Flacco do. It's what we've seen much worse quarterbacks than Jimmy Garoppolo do, and yet they couldn't do it last night.
It was a big third and 10 at 24-20, and down the middle of the field, Emmanuel Sanders has outrun a triple coverage and he massively overthrows him into the end zone.
Well, that's the play for me. I mean, that's the defining mental play for Garoppolo, because for two reasons. One, there was a guy wide open over the middle for a first down, which is, I understand that if
I agree, mate. All right.
Yeah, whatever, plane. Hey, plane, new plane. Sorry.
But ultimately, he's airmailed that throw disastrously. But also, separate to that, any throw 40 yards downfield is low percentage. Take the high percentage, first down throw over the middle, and live to fight for another 4 downs. And especially when, had they scored a touchdown there, I've absolutely no doubt that Patrick Mahomes would have drove the Chiefs back down the field, because there was enough time left on the clock. Like, in that situation as well, I'm aware that you need to score and that's the priority, but game management is a part of it as well.
It's the same
you
thing
want
I,
to score with low time left
the,
on the clock.
It's actually the same thing I said on the score that the Chiefs got to go up 24-20 in the first place. They scored that in 2 minutes 36 when they came on the field with, what, 5.5 minutes left? They could have killed the game off themselves a slower, more methodical drive. Don't get me wrong. I said it, which we had Shane Vereen on our coverage, who was excellent, by the way. Said it to Shane Vereen during the break. I just said, the fact is obviously you want to score a touchdown. You're behind. That's the most important thing. But if you run the ball a bit more and take 2 more minutes off the clock, you give them no chance to come back.
Yeah, absolutely. And I kept nudging you because you were obviously, you know, doing a great job, in fairness, of trying to broadcast live, but also physically betraying signs of incredible frustration. And I kept nudging you, just pointing at me, watching, saying, like, don't worry, there's plenty of time left on the clock kind of thing. And also, they got the drive started as well. That's the frustrating part. The drive looked great until the pass crossed midfield. And then, honestly, that... I don't understand. I'd love to know whether the third down play, the third and ten, whether the intention was to go or was to go deep to Sanders, because the fact he threw it suggests to me it was.
And that's bad coaching.
And I don't understand that. Yeah, it's third and ten. If it was first and ten...
You're in four down territory. Yeah. Even if you take 7 or 8 yards and go on the fourth down, at least you've got a higher percentage completion than you do going for the bomb downfield.
It's frustrating. And I mean, like you say, I find almost... like I was thinking... that period's Eagles Super Bowl was hard to take for me as a fan. I almost think this is worse because you had the game. You had the game in the fourth quarter and just a variety of things to mess it up.
My buddy Dickie Wyatt, that might be a problem, that leaf blower now going off over there.
Should we quickly wrap up? I just wanted
I just want to say quickly, a shout out to my buddy Dickie Wyatt, my Kyle Shanahan, Shanahanigan's buddy, who last night when I came in, he works with NFL UK on PR. He was staying with us at Airbnb. He's been through Kyle Shanahan blowing a big lead in a Super Bowl, and he just came over and gave me the biggest hug in the world. And they kept telling me, he's still a great coach, don't worry about it.
Tricky Dickie, what an absolute hero. I just wanted to say, Jason Kabinda, the Detroit Lions talk sport, Detroit Lions linebacker, was on the talk sport coverage, and at 24-20, Kansas City had just scored. San Francisco get the ball. He said, this is the time for Jimmy Garoppolo to step out of Tom Brady's shadow. Didn't happen. Tom Brady's shadow.
He was never going to step out. He could have won a Super Bowl and he would have stepped out of Tom Brady's shadow. He could have done it.
I disagree.
At the end of the day, what he does do is, he said himself this week, more than half the questions he were asked were about Tom Brady. That wouldn't have been the case next year if they were back and that he'd have got the job done in this game. So I do think it's a viable point. Ultimately, yeah, I mean, it's just, I do feel for you, Will. I really do. It's not a nice one. I think we're all excited to see the birth of a new superstar and for Andy Reid to get it, offset slightly by some other more unsavoury members of that Chiefs team. But that's...
It was so funny because they are a lovely team through top to bottom bar. I mean, Travis Kelce was acting the fool in the locker room immediately, as was Tyreek Hill, getting all arsey because, like, he left his phone on the podium and then getting really arsey at a PR person. There are one or two characters in that locker room who I would happily see out of town in a minute.
Yeah, absolutely.
This podcast has been excellent, and it's been absolutely ruined, much like a 49ers performance in the fourth quarter by some men with leaf blowers / Kyle Shanahan. Those leaf blowers are Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the perfect metaphor to end this show on with.
All right, buddy. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure, guys, all of this week. Thank you to the guys at GoPro Hero as well. The competition, if you're listening to this on Monday, is still open till the end of the day. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for getting involved. Huge fans of everyone that gets in touch with us. We'll probably take a little break now. We've got some really big plans for the off-season, but we'll have a couple of weeks off. Maybe we'll bring you some of our Super Bowl interviews as a treat. Otherwise, thank you for listening. This has been The Gridiron Show, brought to you by Currys PC World and GoPro.
To the Horse Ramble Daily, where we'll be covering all of your horse needs. And there's more. Every day during the Cheltenham Festival, Betway are giving you the chance to win £50,000 in the free-to-play or to win game. Head to betway.com to play now. Up next, more horses. Horse, horse, horse. Horse, horse, horse. Horse, horse, horse. Full terms apply. 18 plus only. BeGambleAware.org.